This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
New phase for the fire cleanups. We're moving into that now. As we brace for the storm, we'll talk to a geologist about the rain that's coming this week. First, though, we got the big traffic story.
Had a deadly wrong-way crash early this morning south on the 405 in the Sepulveda Pass, and it went from being closed to a few lanes open, but still, the damage is done. Let's get more live from Archon Baird.
Yeah, they're squeezing the traffic down from two lanes southbound to one as they drive by the accident scene. The CHP is still in the middle of their investigation. They've got patrol cars all around the victim. A member of the coroner's office is here and was examining the victim just a few minutes ago. What we understand is just after 4 o'clock this morning, this car was traveling northbound here in the southbound lane. And I'm in that lane right now, standing facing that way, going the wrong way when he slammed into a car and critically injured that driver. It killed the wrong way driver. Also, a third driver slammed into the back of the second car. He was shaken, but apparently he's okay. His car has already been towed away. The second driver has been taken to the hospital in critical condition. There was a news crew, literally a TV crew, 10 seconds behind this. They saw the smoke from the accident and pulled over. They were telling me that some good Samaritans pulled this victim out of his car. The wrong way driver tried CPR, and the CHP tried when they got here, and then firefighters pronounced him dead at the scene. So they will be taking the victim away shortly, but it may be a little while before they're done with their investigation. In the meantime, traffic is just crawling by. Let's go to Sabina Mora in the traffic center for a way around it.
Thanks, John. Yes, as you know, Sepulveda Boulevard is a mess. It is packed because of the 405 closure. So just past Ventura Boulevard before the Valley Vista Sepulveda off-ramp, it's down to one lane. So you can take the 170 over to the 101, but there's a lot of extra slowing on the 170 already through North Hollywood. Taking the canyon roads like Laurel, Coldwater, Beverly Glen. If you get on the 405 freeway at Mulholland, it will open up. It looks great south down to the 10. It's just that heavy sewing because of the closure, leaving the 118 all the way through southbound to just past Ventura Boulevard.
All right, Sabina, thanks. Back to you in just a few minutes. We've reached a milestone in terms of the cleanup from the fires. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is moving into phase two of the cleanup for the private property hauling away debris. Means there's going to be more trucks and crews in neighborhoods in the Eaton and Palisades fire zones. Phase one also still underway. They're going at the same time. That's the EPA taking away the hazardous materials.
People who live below the burn areas in Altadena concerned about the storms and possible debris flows. Here's Emily Valdez.
I met Kevin outside his Altadena home. He was putting a tarp on his roof that the wind tore off during the firestorm. He's got sandbags up.
The problem is that the fire itself has kind of blown up all expectations. Normally, I would say I'm not concerned, but that's the way I felt when I saw the glow of the fire over in Eaton Canyon that evening. And 2.5 hours later, we were being evacuated.
LA County Sheriff's Lieutenant Ethan Marquez with the Altadena station says they have extra deputies on staff.
In the event we have to close roads, in the event we have to help with evacuations, to help maybe support the fire department in any way we can, those are the kind of things we'll be doing.
Before the previous storm, LA County had already put up sandbags and taken other measures to hopefully divert debris flows from the burned out properties away from the downhill neighborhoods.
House that was destroyed in the Palisades fire sold over asking price. This lot now used to have four bedrooms, now just a rubble couple chimneys and brick columns. Went up for sale 10 days after asking price of $999,000. Since then, more than 60 offers from people wanting to buy it. It's now under contract for more than $1 million.
SoCal Edison has started restoring power to more parts of Rancho Palos Verdes and Rolling Hills. They say power will be turned back on for homes that, well, pass inspections. A spokesperson for the utility told the Daily Breeze that future shutoffs could happen if the conditions become unsafe. Restoration started at the Portuguese Bend Beach Club over the weekend. Next up, the Seaview neighborhood. Homeowners have been without electricity for nearly 6 months because of the land movement there. Record rain last year and the year before accelerated the slow-moving landslide, damaging roads, power, gas lines, and homes.
And all right, we've been talking about this storm that's coming this week. You just heard Emily Valdez a couple minutes ago with people below some of these burn zones worried about what might come down their way. Let's bring in somebody we've talked to before, geologist Mike Phipps.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Mike, can you hear us?
Well, let's see if we can.
Yes. Oh,
there we
Good
go.
Morning.
He's arrived.
Maybe a delay or something. Okay. So, Mike, I understand you've looked at some sort of aerial photos of the areas. And what sort of pops out for you of areas of concern with this latest storm coming in?
I think the biggest thing is that some of these watershed areas on the canyons, you know, that come down to the coast in Palisades and Malibu, they're just completely burned. There's no vegetation left. And, you know, what happens in these burn scars is you get these soils that are hydrophobic. They resist infiltration of water after a burn. And so you get a lot more runoff in those situations. So the most striking thing to me is some of these complete, you know, watershed areas are just entirely burned.
How do you assess the work that's been done so far? I mean, K-rails are out, debris basins are cleared. We've seen Public Works doing the best they can, but I guess a couple things, right? They one, can only hold so much, and then two, we worry sometimes about the cumulative effects of the rain, and we've had a couple storms, but then we've got this one coming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which everybody's saying is going to be the strongest one we've had so far this season.
Yeah, the antecedent rain totals are, you know, only 2 to 4 inches so far. And that's not as bad as if it was, you know, 10 to 15 inches already. So, you know, the ground is not necessarily saturated yet. But the storm totals that I've seen, 2 to 3 inches in the Palisades on Thursday and 4 to 6 in the Eaton Fire area on Thursday, you know, if that falls in an intense manner, you're going to get some debris flows, and I don't know whether the infrastructure is going to be able to handle it, even with the measures taken.
Speaking with geologist Mike Phipps about the burn zones and the storm coming in, when I talk to my kids about how they feel sometimes, I give them a scale, 1 to 10. So 1 being best, 10 being worst. If you had a home backing up to a hillside out there, what's your level of concern on that scale?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I think the risk for this storm is probably moderate. I wouldn't say it's high. It's circumstantial. It depends on where you are next to that hillside. Most homes are built set back from the hillsides. But, I mean, that's a tough question to answer, Vicky.
How long does this kind of threat last? I mean, remind people if it's during the storm, just the events, or if it's the day after, if it's the week after.
I think the mud flows are going to happen during and you know, right at the tail end of the highest intensity of the storms. The risk of landslides beyond that is going to be with more storms coming in, more saturation of the soil. So I think it's going to be pretty much around the time of the storm or right afterwards.
Is there anything more that anyone can do at this point, or are we just at the mercy of the rain system coming in?
Well, it's a tough situation. I know that all of the cities, counties, you know, agencies have been working very hard to get you know, things as prepared as they can. The county of LA has done a lot of work in the hills. I've seen it, and you know, I think they've done the best they can, and we just have to hope that we don't get a, you know, bigger storm coming in. This one seems to be about a moderate size atmospheric river, so fingers crossed.
All right, geologist Mike Phipps, he watches those hills. Mike, thanks.
An Orange County teen who invented a new way to stop wildfires is now talking about it. And the Lakers' newest star has debuted at Crypto. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Steve Bannon, remember him, pleading guilty to a fraud charge related to duping some donors who gave money to a private effort to build a wall, southern border wall. Bannon, a longtime ally of the president, reaching a plea agreement spares him from jail time in the We Build the Wall scheme as long as he stays out of trouble. He said this was a case of political persecution.
Hamas has stopped releasing hostages that it had earlier agreed to free, and that's prompted President Trump to give an ultimatum. That's grabbing headlines.
Hamas accuses Israel of not keeping up its side of the ceasefire deal, continuing to strike targets in Gaza and not allowing enough aid into the territory, and says it's delaying any further hostage releases. That drew this comment from President Trump.
Saturday at 12, we want them all back. I'm speaking for myself. Israel can override it, but... from myself, Saturday at 12 o'clock, and if they're not here, all hell is going to break out.
Israel denies Hamas's allegations and has put the army on high alert. There have been demonstrations in Israel where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's under heavy pressure after three Israelis freed Saturday came home emaciated.
It looked like something out of the 1930s. It's an absolute disgrace.
And Trump suggests that's the reason Hamas has put further releases on hold.
What you see is probably the best, because they want to send people that look at least healthy. And that's not healthy. These people have been badly hurt.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Vice President J.D. Vance at that summit in Paris on AI saying you got to push back against too much regulation.
This administration will ensure that American AI technology continues to be the gold standard worldwide, and we are the partner of choice for others, foreign countries, and certainly businesses as they expand their own use of AI.
Back to Donald Trump now, the president, talking about bringing back plastic straws.
We're going back to plastic straws. These things don't work.
President Trump signed the mandate Monday, reversing a Biden-era plan to cut the reliance on plastics in the federal government.
On occasion, they break, they explode. It's a ridiculous situation. So we're going back to plastic straws.
Under former President Biden's plan announced last year, the goal was to phase out the federal purchase of single-use plastics by 2027, while cutting them out altogether by 2050.
That's CBS News correspondent Naomi Ruckham.
One person killed, three others injured. A private jet owned by Motley Crue singer Vince Neil collided with another jet at the Scottsdale Airport in Arizona. Rep for Neil says he wasn't on the plane. CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve says it looks like the landing gear failed.
It was coming in from Austin, squared up for what appeared to be a normal landing until that apparent gear failure sent it veering off the runway and into another airplane. The NTSB and the FAA will certainly look into this accident to try to determine the cause and what factors, what lessons can be learned from it to perhaps make future flying safer.
Talk more with our travel editor, Peter Greenberg, in just a few minutes.
It was a shocking trade, one of the most shocking in the history of sports, and Luka Doncic has finally worn the purple and gold in a game. Made his debut last night as the Lakers took on the Jazz at Crypto, and didn't disappoint. Had 14 points, 5 rebounds as LA crushed Utah 132-113. LeBron led the way with 24 and 8 assists. After the game, Luka said he was nervous, but it was good to play basketball again.
The way they received me, everybody, it was amazing to see. I was a little nervous before. I remember when was the last time I was nervous before the game. So, but once I stepped on the court, it was fun. And just being out there again felt amazing.
He sat out the first few games as he recovered from a calf injury.
The teenager, Newport Beach, with his AI detection system for the fires. They're starting to deploy this now. He's 16 years old. We talked a little bit about him yesterday. Ryan Honore talking to KCAL News about how it works. This was a deployment yesterday in Irvine.
It would take a picture of that fire. It would detect it from its infrared and maybe even its smoke as well. And then it would instantly send that information and as an email, text, or push notification to, for example, it might be directed toward the Orange County Fire Authority's phones.
Says the goal is to find fires that are so small by the time the crews are there to put it out, a person wouldn't have even been able to notice and see it from their house. He partnered with OCFA for several years after getting a $250,000 grant from the Irvine Ranch Conservancy.
theater.com.
We were just talking about it. One person killed, several others injured after the two jets, the small ones, collided on the ground at the airport in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then also, investigation continues into the midair collision in D.C. Let's bring in our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning.
Let's start with the latest analysis on that midair crash at Reagan National between the Black Hawk helicopter and the American Airlines jet.
Well, the NTSB is still yet to issue their report, but this is what they do know so far, that the pilots of the American plane were exactly where they were supposed to be, and they were doing what they were supposed to do about 18 to 20 seconds before actually touching down on that runway 33 at Reagan. The real problem here was the Army helicopter. He was off course. He was flying about 175 feet higher than he should have. But what's most problematic, he was not signaling through his transponder to air traffic controllers, which would have shown them on their screen exactly where he was. They only had a radar image of him, not the electronic image that they would get from any other plane. And, of course, compounded by the fact there was only one controller working. No plane ever crashes for any one reason. We have a number of reasons working here today, but that's all leading to a complete reorganization, if you can imagine this, of the system that's now regulated by the FAA. So hopefully those changes will be coming.
And for Arizona, they're thinking landing gear problem?
Exactly. This is a runway incursion. By the way, we've had more runway incursions in the last 2 years than we've had in the last decade. That's where planes either are not supposed to be on a certain runway and go over to another runway. This is a loss of control where he lost his landing gear at speed and went into another plane. But the real problem that's happening now are tarmac problems, where you're having collisions between two planes taxiing because there are so many planes at the same time, there's just not enough real estate on the ground. We just had that happen in Seattle earlier this week, where Japan Airlines 787 basically ran into the back, the tail of a Delta Airlines 737 at slow speed, but the damage was substantial.
It always amazes me what people bring to airports, not the least of which, of course, is guns. The TSA has been talking about this, how many firearms they've been seizing. Where do we stand with that?
Well, that's a little scary because last year, TSA basically seized more than 6,400 weapons at those security checkpoints. But here's the really disturbing fact. 94% of them were loaded. And that is disturbing enough. You would think that in the year 2024 or now 2025, people would know not to bring loaded weapons. But here's a statistic that might surprise you. I'll give you one airline. Last year, about 84% of everybody who flew American Airlines only flew it once, which means you have a lot of first-time flyers every year.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thanks as always. Talk next week.